From ESG Post in Singapore, I'm Zara Maung and this is the ESG Podcast. Eugenia Ko is Head of Impact Investing and Engagement Strategy at Standard Chartered Bank. I spoke to her about ESG investment trends, including investors' views on ESG and the quality of ESG investments. Thanks so much for joining me, Eugenia. Could you tell me how Standard Chartered Bank approaches its ESG investment and what products you offer?
Thanks for having me. The way we look at ESG investing is it's part of a continuum of solutions where investors are looking to align their values and to drive impact and also to look at better risk management. So within that whole spectrum of ESG investing, there are a couple of strategies that investors actually think about. At the very basic level, there are investors that would say there are areas and sectors that I want to exclude because they're not aligned to my values. That's an exclusions strategy. More and more, we see that with ESG investing, that's shifted to more a best-in-class approach to say that I acknowledge that with ESG, it can be used as a good risk management tool and in some aspects an opportunity to outperform. And therefore, I want to integrate ESG within my portfolio and the way we look at it, taking the best companies that are doing well financially but also have a strong eye on sustainability issues and to be able to have them within the portfolio from a mid to long-term perspective. We know that in the short term, ESG investing might not necessarily show any outperformance, but we believe that based on the research out there, in the mid to long term, especially in emerging markets, that's something that will benefit investors. So we do have a suite of solutions because Standard Chartered is open architecture, meaning we open source solutions from across many parties. So we do have ESG solutions from funds, bonds, ETFs, discretionary products, and this allows then investors different types of instruments that they can be considering.
And what are the drivers for investors considering ESG, and what kind of proportion of total investments would you invest in ESG?
So it's interesting. We did a survey recently on Asian investor attitudes towards sustainable investing, and we see that the top three drivers are one, you know, that in the long term should provide us with better returns. The second was really, you know, making the world a better place. So investing with values or, you know, at least an intent. And the third really is around better risk management. So I think it's an interesting combination of really wanting to do well and to do good at the same time. With what investors are thinking about based on the survey that we did, we see that they're looking to allocate about 2% more to their portfolios towards sustainable investing. So we saw that there was a healthy growth compared to last year, even as we've gone out to poll investors on some of their expectations and their attitudes.
So how does that compare overall then? What's the percentage of ESG as part of the total portfolio?
For us, we are in the midst actually of this exercise of better categorizing solutions, which are ESG. So I think at this moment, it's a bit premature to be able to put a figure to it. But what we have seen is growth, although I must say a very low base. So while those growth numbers sometimes may seem impressive, we honestly are seeing that ESG is still in a nascent space right now, especially in Asia. And so while it's taking off, I wouldn't say that it's a significant part of any portfolio necessarily. But what's encouraging is the trajectory and the fact that these conversations are happening, that education is happening. I think a key thing that really keeps investors still tentative about ESG investing is that not everyone is convinced that it can deliver better returns or at least equal market returns. Because if you look at the history of ESG, actually people felt that they've given it a shot some years back. You know, the first series of ESG funds, which were focused mainly on exclusions, did not perform for investors. And people still remember that. So when ESG has come back into a topic once again, investors are saying that, hey, actually, I did consider it, right? And it didn't really work for me. So there is a lot of education in saying, hey, investing in ESG has evolved over time. You know, we are at ESG, you know, version 2.0, right? And this actually does make sense for you from a long-term perspective. And while we're not saying that you should convert your entire portfolio into it, you should consider allocating a proportion of it, maybe a small proportion to start with. But, you know, if you're not future-proofing your portfolios, then it's not for your best interest anyway.
Which would you say were the most popular types of ESG investments, and which would you say were the best performing financially over the short and long term? And also, it'd be good to get insight from you as to how good quality you would rate the ESG products that you see as well, from a sustainability perspective.
So I think we've seen that at the moment, the thematics tend to do well. So, you know, with ESG, because it's still quite a vague word, I feel, for many investors. So if you were to say, this is an ESG investment, they would say, you know, what exactly is it and how different is it from a traditional portfolio, right? And with some of the integration type strategies, because it does comprise of companies that they're already very familiar with, which they may not necessarily think about from an ESG perspective, sometimes it's a bit of a harder concept for them to grasp. The ones that have resonated or have been easier to understand would be, for instance, if you say, this is a water fund, or this is a fund that is focused on sustainable foods, because then, you know, they understand it, right? They, you know, it's a thematic that, you know, in some markets they might be really conscious about. We had our water fund being offered to consumers and investors out in China, and because, you know, they understood the issues around that, that did quite well. So I think, you know, solutions which are, one, easy to understand and easy to then educate and explain, they tend to do better than others. In this space, I think, you know, because there's so much increasing hype around ESG, we do see that there are funds out there, or, you know, solutions out there that may kind of brand themselves as ESG, but they may not be fully looking at the whole spectrum of ESG factors or embedding it in a way that is as robust as what we would like. So for those, you know, we do have a curation approach where we do due diligence, and, you know, we're able to sieve out whom we think are the players that are really walking the talk.
From a financial perspective, I know that that often isn't the driver for why people want to invest in ESG, but how would you rate them financially?
Yeah, so I think we've seen that within emerging markets, solutions which incorporate ESG solutions, actually based on research out there, have been shown to outperform. I think and the main driver of that is really the G aspect of it, which is governance. And because in emerging markets, you find that disclosure is still a work in progress, and therefore, you know, the ability and the transparency provided by companies with who are able to be stronger in this aspect does impact overall financial performance in the mid to long term. With developed markets, I think the case for ESG as generating alpha is perhaps less. But overall, one of the key areas why investors are starting to look at it is that it does provide for good risk management, and it looks at some of the risk mitigants out there alongside the suite of other factors. So I think, you know, of late, we've seen that there have been issues from a reputational perspective, data privacy, you know, kind of mismanagement, and all of that. ESG essentially is about being able to show the character of a company, you know. And if you're investing in companies with good character, in the long run, financially, they will also be more robust.
How do you find the data quality that you're getting from the companies themselves? Where do you get your data from? And if you use rating agencies, does it concern you that companies tend to get different ratings from different agencies?
So we don't actually get the data directly from companies, because we work with the fund houses or third parties to be able to have these solutions on our platform. So I just wanted to clarify that. But yes, in our conversations with our fund houses, partners, or the solution partners that are coming to us, we know that data quality is something that needs to be continuously worked at. I think, you know, it's just in line with the growth of the space as ESG investing becomes more entrenched and goes mainstream, as companies are made to disclose more and more, that will help overall transparency as well. With the rating agencies, it's true that we do see different ratings by different rating agencies. A lot of them have different models as well. So for instance, we use Refinitiv, which is a spin-off from Thomson Reuters. And for them, there is a really a data-driven approach to it. So they don't do necessarily face-to-face interviews with companies out there. They take data, structure it, and put it through the algorithm. And for them, they believe that that provides a more unbiased approach to looking at it. if you speak to players such as MSCI, Sustainalytics, they do include an analyst component to it. And there's certain merits of that model as well, where they're saying, you know, we're able to dig beneath the numbers and therefore give it a scoring based on our own intellectual expertise as well. I think what's important is that even as the space grows and as the rating agencies also grow in sophistication of putting forth these ratings, the more information that investors can access, the better it prepares them even as they're thinking about certain investments.
If you look at the amount of investment needed to take us into a sustainable global economy, a large proportion of the economy has to move towards sustainability. What would you say was the way to move forward towards that? And do you see that happening in the current trajectory?
I mean, I think it's encouraging. Obviously, you know, when we're in these discussions, you always hear that so much more can be done and so much more needs to be done at an even more rapid pace. But I think, you know, if you look back over the last kind of 10 to 20 years, actually there has been a lot of progress that's really being made towards the sustainable development goals. You know, in the space of healthcare, you know, we're close to eradicating polio. You know, a lot of work and effort has gone into it. So I think ESG sits within that whole continuum of capital, where we're saying that we need companies to be looking at running themselves more sustainably, because they do, especially the large corporates, contribute a lot in terms of capital, in terms of influence to the companies and ecosystems that they're working on. On the other level, on the other end, you do see an increasing number of impact businesses or impact investments that are coming up, which has impact and the driving of some of this impact as a very core part of their business mandate. And because of that, you know, they are able to kind of catalyze that exponential growth as well, you know, with healthcare companies in India looking at affordable care for certain ailments, you know, and being able then to be able to free up philanthropic money to the communities which really deserve or that really need them. So I think as different players across that ecosystem continue to forge ahead with their efforts, what's encouraging is that more and more capital is being channeled to some of this, but we know that the cost of it is high, right? I mean, it's a $1 trillion need that we need to find capital for each and every year. But the fact that more and more of these conversations are happening, that more people are thinking about it and looking to really drive that sustainability agenda, at least we're making, I think, steps in the right direction.
So do you see ESG actually increasing across the board of companies?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and it's definitely increasing, because I think people see that there is a need to contribute to its sustainable development. And that's also a very pragmatic driver to it, that the next generation of consumers are demanding for it. And it's no longer acceptable for you not to be thinking about it. And I think as with businesses that are looking to be profitable and to be thriving, they will respond to ESG. Whether or not it's from a purely altruistic purpose, I think that's actually okay, because, you know, at the end of the day, if we're compelled by very pragmatic reasons, that's also good for the overall transition to sustainability.
Thank you so much for your insights, Eugenia.
Thank you.